The Christmas story on this Christmas morning is found in Luke chapter 2, the first seven verses, but we also read about that in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. The prophecy that we just sang, a little town of Bethlehem, comes here in Micah chapter 5. Hear now God's word first from the Old Testament in Micah 5 at verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. And then we'll turn to the New Testament, where we see that prophecy being fulfilled, that one who is peace and brings peace coming to this world, which knows no peace apart from King Jesus. Luke 2, the first seven verses. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. May God bless the reading and hearing of his gospel to us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would open it unto our hearts. Familiar words indeed. Familiar message, yes. And our hearts need the old story of Jesus and his love. Help us to hear it and respond in faith today. Amen. Well, congregation, there is a outline, sermon message outline on the back page of the bulletin. If you like to see that and follow along, take a few notes. If you'd like to do that, you can. Well, brothers and sisters, there is a song that we often sing this time of year, or we hear sung. It starts, I'll be home for Christmas. People long to be home for Christmas. I look out and I see many people who have come home to grandma's or mom's for Christmas. We might have traveled a little ways, we might have traveled a very long ways, but we'll do whatever it takes to get home for Christmas, because so many of the things we love about Christmas, the recipes, the fun, the food, it's a little hard to enjoy them from a distance. You have to be there, present, home, for Christmas. We know what that's like, to be home. But today we learn about what it is really to go home for Christmas. The gospel of Christmas morning is this, that Jesus did not do that. That very thing that you and I long for and experience, to be home for Christmas. Jesus did not go home for Christmas. Why? So that we could go home for Christmas. To our real home. To a real home that we have and that we need, not just on December 25, but a home that we have for eternity. We're going to learn about this fact as we discover, not only in the verses that we read, but from some of the other verses in the Scripture, about all of the people who are traveling somewhere on that very first Christmas. For going back to the place you came from is exactly the setting for the very first Christmas. Luke 2, verses 1 through 7 gives us that setting. Mary and Joseph had to go back to where Joseph came from in that little town of Bethlehem. So we'll look first at Mary and Joseph's journey. Then we'll look at what lessons we might learn, a few of the lessons from the shepherd's journey. And then the wise men's journey. And then, lest we forget, we'll notice, of course, the journey of the Son of God. So let us think about this today, what it means to go home for Christmas. When we look at Mary and Joseph's journey, we notice something about that journey. That journey was because of a relationship that Joseph had. A covenantal relationship based on promises and based on just who he was. He didn't choose to be who he was, but it was who he was. He was born into a certain family. He belonged in a certain place, and that's who he was. And so he had to do things because of who he was. In Luke 2, 4, and 5, we read, Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. That's where he was living now. But that's not where he was to stay. He had to leave for a short time to travel to Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David. So that he could be registered in this census with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And the point of this scripture is not simply for us to understand and look on a map. Okay, that's where Nazareth is, and that's where Bethlehem is, and Jerusalem somewhere in between. That's interesting. But also to see that Bethlehem was important for political reasons and for economic reasons and for theological reasons, not just because that's where Joseph grew up. Micah had prophesied that there would be a ruler, a ruler of God's kingdom that would come from there. A kingdom that would span across the entire universe. A kingdom that would bring peace. This ruler had to come from someone who was not only born in Bethlehem, but from someone who was in the line of the royal king, King David. And we are told exactly that's who Joseph was. In the line of David. And we remember in the Bible says David was not just any king. He was the king who was a man after God's own heart. God gave special promises to King David that he didn't give to anyone else. That King David would always have a son who would rule on the throne of God's kingdom forever. And this is where Mary and Joseph journeyed. This is where they journeyed. We see also this covenantal aspect of their journey in that Joseph came with Mary. Now, they weren't married just yet. They were engaged in a way that was called betrothal. It was a little bit different than our modern engagements. But they weren't married yet, but he brought her along. He had a relationship with her, and he needed to honor that and bring her along. He had made vows and promises that one day they would marry, and so she would be a part of the family. And he was the head of the home, and she was to come along with him. Mary and Joseph's journey remind us not only of this covenant, but also of a costliness to the journey. Journeys cost something. How many 9-month pregnant women would like to travel 100 miles with a camel through the desert? It wasn't all desert, but part of it was desert, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And yet the government census and tax bureau had commanded it, and Joseph and Mary complied. The journey was costly, especially because it was so inconvenient. Mary and Joseph had already learned about being inconvenienced by God and by God's word. They didn't ask to be who they were. The angels came to them and said, "Here's who you are. You have the Son of God inside you in this miraculous way." Mary was pregnant, but She couldn't be. She was a virgin. Everybody was talking about how she could be pregnant and what must have happened. But Mary and Joseph were told by the angels the truth, of course, and they were to believe that word, though it was very inconvenient to them. And while it is never convenient to be pregnant, Mary's was truly an unplanned pregnancy. The most unplanned pregnancy in all history. And yet, while it was unplanned by Joseph and Mary and any human, it was most perfectly planned by God above. The impossible things never stop God. This is the God who created the whole universe in 6 days. This is the God who cut a path through the Red Sea and the Exodus and brought millions of his people through on dry ground while Pharaoh and his armies drowned. This is the God who does miracle after miracle after miracle, whatever he wants to do, whatever it takes to show his power and demonstrate that he is worth believing and serving, he does. And so we worship him. Despite the inconvenience to ourselves and our own plans. Are there inconvenient things to your journey through this life? I think it's probably fair to say that if there is nothing inconvenient to you about being a Christian, then you need to take a second look at yourself in the mirror. Jesus says that if you follow him, you will have trouble and inconvenience in this world. We don't have angels sending us direct messages from heaven anymore, like Joseph and Mary. We don't need that because we have the final message, the whole Bible from beginning to end. And the final message in that final person who came at Christmas, Jesus, who is the Word of God. We live in a culture where it is convenient to say Happy Holidays, but it is not so convenient to say Merry Christmas. So what do you do? We live in a culture where it is convenient to talk about sports and weather and the latest Facebook postings of our friends, but it is not convenient or even allowed to pray in Jesus' name, in public, to talk with others about the Bible, to speak of the pure teachings of God's Word and what that means for your life, to stand up to our friends and co-workers, to remind ourselves we want to do something meaningful in life and not waste ourselves away pursuing the latest entertainment pleasure and really doing nothing. But that's inconvenient. But God calls us to that sort of thing, to follow his word, something we learn from the travels of Mary and Joseph. But there were also shepherds who traveled on that first Christmas. The shepherd's journey is described a little bit later in Luke 2. We didn't read that this morning, but you remember that, and I'll read a bit of that. Luke 2, verse 15 and 16, we read that the angels had come, and they left back into heaven after their announcement to the shepherds. And the shepherds said to one another, in Luke 2, 15, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So the angels didn't lie to them. And they came with haste. Why hurry? Well, because just like you and I, it's not an everyday thing to have the angel of the Lord talk to you. It doesn't happen. Shepherds aren't used to this. This is an amazing thing. It was the shock of their life, and so they responded quickly. The shepherds were so afraid indeed that the glory of the Lord shone around them that the angels had to say, "Don't be afraid. This is good news we have, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And they ran to see. And they ran. They were quick to find out for themselves the truth of the gospel. But what else did they do? We learned from the shepherd's journey how they had a zeal. They caught a disease, if you will, a good disease. They had an infection that spread and that they wanted to spread to everyone to know this news. The Son of God who was born in Bethlehem. In Luke 2, verse 17, we read, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. This is remarkable. The shepherds were the Christmas evangelists. It's remarkable, especially when you remember or learn that shepherds were second-class citizens in that culture. They were so second-class that if there was a court case, you couldn't call a shepherd up to say what he saw. His witness was automatically disallowed. You couldn't trust him. And yet God chose shepherds as some of the eyewitnesses to the birth of Jesus. It's an amazing reality to this fact that God became man, the Emmanuel God with us. The shepherds were not afraid, despite how people wouldn't believe them and say they're freaks, they don't know what they're talking about. They would still say the truth. And the shepherds, not only did they spread the news, what else did they do? They went back to work. They went back to work. They went to their normal lives, and yet they were changed, but they still went about their normal business. And there's an important lesson for us in that. In Luke 2, verse 20, we read the shepherds returned. They went to the manger. They went around and said, hey, come, look what we found. And they had to go back to the sheep. And that's what they did. The shepherds returned and they glorified and praised God, the verse says in Luke 2:20, for all the things they had heard and seen. It's so easy to praise God and celebrate Christmas today. But what about in mid-January or in March? If we haven't been thinking about it already, later today and certainly tomorrow, Christmas is ancient history. It's New Year's Eve for a week. And then, it's a whole other year before we think about that stuff. Now we go back to work, but we continue to praise and glorify and serve and love the very same God. And we continue to need to tell the world the very same message. Though it's inconvenient, though people say, oh, we can't trust you, you're a Christian, you're not trustworthy. Just like they treated the shepherds. But the truth is the truth, despite the feelings of the world, or the conviction they have about their sin, we tell the truth of Christmas. Our personal experience of Christmas, the highs will become lows in January. Our faith can falter, our hearts can get preoccupied, but that is exactly when we remember that going home for Christmas today must have something more to it than showing up with a bag of gifts. There's got to be more to it than that. And there is. There is. Well, what do we learn from the wise men's journey? We've looked at the shepherd's journey. We looked at Mary and Joseph's journey. The wise men's journey. Did you ever wonder what could have caused these men bearing gifts who traversed afar to traverse so far? Even if they were some ancient version of the welcome wagon for new kings and queens on the earth, what was the point? It wasn't like that happened every day or every week or every year. It was a very rare thing for a new king or queen to be born while their own parent was the current king or queen. The wise men, of course, were much more and much different than a welcome wagon. In fact, their significance in the Christmas history is exactly because they did travel and journey so far. They were not Jews. They came to one who was born king of the Jews. What are they doing there? He's not their king. What do they care? And yet they do care. God had worked His miracle and His power in them to bring them in their spiritual journey of life across the path of His own Son. So now they cared. God brought them, and they were very spiritual, but He brought them into the right spirituality when they met Jesus. And now they worship Jesus as a king, as their own king, giving Him these gifts. He is king of all kings, not just king of one nation. This is something we learn from the wise men's journey, where they worshiped and honored Him. Matthew 2, verse 10 and 11 tells us that they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They had all this wisdom, and yet they were humble enough to know there's someone better than us, and He's been born. We must go see Him and worship Him. What do we learn from the wise men's journey? At least one thing we learn about how to leave home for Christmas. Well, they didn't go home. They left their home for Christmas. They traveled to Christ, sacrificing their own time, talents, and treasure. And that's exactly why they went, so that they could sacrifice and give. And they weren't giving to grandma or grandpa, mom or dad, daughter or son, aunt or uncle. They were giving to Christ. There's nothing wrong with us giving gifts and sharing with one another, but that's not what they did. They gave to Christ, the only one who could redeem them from their sins. Are you willing not only to go home for Christmas, but to leave home for Christmas in that way, to sacrifice of your time, talents, and treasure? To travel the well-worn path of God's people throughout human history, the path of sacrifice, of laying down your energy, your family, your retirement activities, your hobbies, your schoolwork, your all, to lay it all on the line because you honor the Lord Jesus with all of it. This is the truth of the wise man's journey, what it means to really go home for Christmas. The last thing we see in our text today is the first thing we saw. Christmas exists because of a journey, not just of Joseph and Mary to a place called Bethlehem, but because of someone who was born there in Bethlehem. And that someone journeyed to that place in a way that none of us could ever journey. The Son of God journeyed to earth from heaven above. The Son of God's journey. The people knew the Old Testament prophecies that the Christ would come to this world in that place. King Herod's scholars advised the wise men on where to go to find the baby. They had read their Bibles that we read in Micah chapter 5. This journey is described in a couple of places in the Bible, the Son of God's journey in Matthew and in Luke, but it's also described in the Gospel of John. Not the normal place we go to on Christmas, probably, but also a very relevant one. In the first chapter of John, we read Jesus is described as the Word who was with God in the beginning, who is God. And later in John 1, verse 14, we read, this Word traveled somewhere. This Word became flesh and lived among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus didn't go home for Christmas. He wasn't home at all. His home, His goings forth, are from of old, Micah 5, verse 2 says. But from of old, from everlasting, He came and left His home to come here. And perhaps the greatest irony and mystery of all about Christmas. that the blessing that we long for and experience today and going home for Christmas is exactly the blessing Jesus gave up. He forfeited. He refused. He was humble. And that's really the reason for the season, the humility of the Son of God. When the King of the universe would stoop so low, as to give up the rights and privileges that he rightly deserves from us, to live in this world full of sin and misery. Shepherds paid attention. Wise men paid attention. Children paid attention. And we today, still, thousands of years later, pay attention. Jesus' journey to earth is a glorious fact, but it was also full of danger. It wasn't so dangerous in the fact of having to travel here, like we might have interesting stories of the dangers we had on our journeys home this year for Christmas. But it was what happened after he got here, in his whole life, living in this world full of sin and misery. We don't like to remember it, but the Bible tells us, even in part of the original Christmas story, that there is this real fact of people who rejected Jesus and the good news. There was danger all around. There are those who love Jesus and worship him, and there are many who do not, did not, and will not worship him. There are many who might be home for Christmas this year, but not truly going home for Christmas, where Jesus is. Not everyone will journey to the place where Jesus is now in faith. When the little boy Jesus was held, the little baby Jesus was held by an old man named Simeon in the temple. He was about a week old. In Luke 2, verse 34 and 35, Simeon blessed this boy and said to Mary, his mother, great things about this boy. This child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. The thoughts of people's hearts will be revealed. Jesus came unto his own, John 1 says, and his own did not receive him. He is the light of the world, but the world that is plunged in darkness refused that light. We love to sing, I'll be home for Christmas. Well, are you home? Do you know where home really is? The location of home is not really only a matter of geography, but it's a matter of faith, of theology. The child who was born in a manger traveled to a world that didn't receive him. There was no room in the inn, we read. King Herod hunted him down. Just to make sure he got him, he killed everyone, every baby up to 2 years old. And that's why they had to escape. The wise men were threatened. A little more than 30 years after Christmas morning, Jesus was crucified for being the newborn king of the Jews. Maybe Jesus should have stayed home on Christmas, on that silent night. But if Jesus would have stayed home, there wouldn't be a Christmas. We wouldn't have anything to remember today. Because he refused the blessing and came to earth anyway, we have something to celebrate. And so if you and I want to go home for Christmas today, and we do, then we've got to go to Christ where he is. And he's not in a manger anymore. He's not in any manger scene. The manger is empty. The tomb is empty. He's on the throne in heaven, and we've got to go to him there in faith. Are you ready to go to him? That's the greatest Christmas journey of all. As we close our message, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John 14. And we think about this idea of Jesus going home. John 14 speaks a lot about this. Jesus himself talked about when he went home, wanting to be home and going home. In John 14, we read in Jesus' final day before his crucifixion and his words to his disciples. John 14, the first five verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus came to this world. He left home so that he could take you and I with him home, back home with him to the Father in the new heavens and the new earth. That's the place of Christmas. That's what it's about. That's the blessing that Jesus didn't go home for Christmas so that we could go home with him. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you and praise you for the simple and glorious truth of what it means to go home for Christmas. Today, O Lord, if there are any here who are not truly home with Christ, pray that through your gospel that they have heard, their hearts would be convicted. They would notice that they are indeed left out in the cold and will receive judgment for their sins unless they repent and turn to you in faith. And we thank you, O Lord, for this real truth and fact that Jesus came in great humility that he might die and be raised in great glory and be on the throne right now. We pray to you there where you are, Lord Jesus, and thank you for your promise, which is certain, that you will bring us to where you are, that we may be there also, home with you, this in faith and also in person one day. We pray as you taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.